All right. Just like I said, it's been 23 years ago. 23 years we're in the ministry. 23 years ago, we were a heavy metal band. Believe it or not. We played heavy metal. We were bad boys. And just like every musician, we had our dreams. You know what the musicians want? They want to have guitars. They want to play music. They want to travel the world. We were sitting in the small room in you know, like a studio that we had, and we played and rehearsed and rehearsed, and we were waiting for something to happen, just like every musicians do. And it happened, not the way we expected though. We met this guy. He was different, you know. It was 1992 when the Soviet Union collapsed. It used to be 15 different republics of Soviet Union, and then it became a separate countries. And of course, when things like that happen, you know, crisis comes. So people had no jobs, no money. They didn't know what's going to happen tomorrow. So we were part of that. And when we met this guy, you know, we never heard about Christianity other than Russian Orthodox Church. That's all we knew. So he had a Bible always with him. But he was educated. He was in the university. He was a student of university. And he was knowledgeable. We were talking about the music, and we had fun. And, you know, we would go and you know, drink some beer, and we would tell him, come on, man, you know, forget this, all this Bible stuff, you know, just let's go and have some beer. And he would go, but he didn't drink the beer. He was just telling us all these crazy things, you know, about the future we're going to have if we will serve the Lord. So he said, you know, guys, if you will serve the Lord, you will have guitars, you will travel the world, you will play music, people are going to love it, and you're going to be happy. That's exactly what he said. Believe it or not, it happened. All what he said, it happened. And so we came to the church. And it was different because we've never been to that kind of church. Just like I said, all we knew is Russian Orthodox. So we came, and it was a place full of people. People were singing. They had joy. And it was crazy because everyone was depressed. People had no money, no food, no work. And these people were happy. It was crazy. So about a month, we were going there, you know, going to the church. The church just started. They were there just for 6 months. And a month later, we came to that service. It was Sunday morning. And we didn't talk to each other. But when the pastor said, who wants to come here forward and pray the prayer of a sinner? Come over here, prayer of salvation. And we all came, the whole band, everybody. We came up front to the stage, and we all prayed this prayer. So pastor got so excited that he's got a rock band now. He said, yes, let's do the concert. Well, we didn't know what kind of Christian concert's supposed to be like. We just got saved, you know? And we didn't know, like, 5 principles of successful ministry, 7 principles of, you know, spiritual life and all of that. We had no idea. And so we just knew, we used to call, band used to call Katie Sark. That's Scotch. So first thing we figured out, we got to change the name. That's not going to work. So we got together and we were thinking we got a name. And there was a guy who knew a little bit of Bible. So he said, we were thinking maybe Jerusalem or Nazareth, that we knew the band. And so he said, New Jerusalem. We didn't like the name first because, you know, it's not for the rock band at all. You know, you got to have a cool name. So it wasn't cool at all. So we said, well, you know, the pastor said we're going to have a concert, so we got to have some kind of name better than Katie Sark. So we said, let's have a New Jerusalem. We'll change it later. We'll find a better name. So it's been 23 years. We were not able to find a better name. Yeah. So for our first concert, we didn't know what kind of Christian concert it's supposed to be like. We've never been to a Christian concert before. So we kind of brought everything what possible we could bring. It was, you know, piles of equipment. It was fire. It was smoke. It was lights. Because we wanted to do the best for the Lord. You know what I'm saying? So, and you know, in the city, there was like a rumor. You know, this church, they got a rock band safe. Let's go and check it out. So people came. And what we did... we have like a book with the songs, traditional songs that the church sing. We didn't know it was the songs. We thought it's just, you know, poetry, some kind of. So we took the words and we made up the songs in heavy metal style. Because we didn't know it was songs. It was hymns originally. So people came to the concert. They would listen to those songs and then they said, you know, the words are familiar, but the music is so different. So what's interesting, 18 people got saved at that concert. So again, we did not know all those principles, you know, 6, 7, or 10, but people got saved. And we knew, we didn't know what happened, but we knew something happened. Because we felt, we knew we were different. And then we started, doors would open for us. You know, we would get invited to go there, different cities, and play, and participate in the outreach, in the ministries. And at one point, we came to United States. We met this person who was one of like top leaders of Church of God, and he brought us to America for the first time. And we recorded our first album in Florida. It was really nice because we came for the first time from former Soviet Union when it's all was, you know, in a bad shape, really. And we came there, you know, palm trees and the roads are nice. And the food is great, and a swimming pool, outdoor, and the studio, and people were so nice. We were like, wow, that's a heaven, you know? That's what heaven should look like, you know? The swimming pool and the palm trees. So we recorded our first album. It was great experience. When we came back and we came to our television with this music. And people were amazed of the quality of the music. Quality and the recording, of course, it was American Recording Studio. The quality was very, very good. So that's when, you know, people start to hearing New Jerusalem. I mean, publicly. Not just the Christians, but, you know, on our public television. We would have like a TV programs where rock bands compete. And, you know, they all would come and play, like, heavy music, and we would play our music. And, you know, and it was anointed, so people could see, could feel that there was something different. And we, you know, they knew us before. I mean, we were friends. We were heavy metal band. And here we came different, you know, wearing suit and tie and playing different music. If they like, what happened? So we got to share. They thought we are crazy, by the way. So we got to share. And then through the years of a ministry, we've been played all over the place. Of course, most of the concert we play in a former Soviet Union, Baltic countries, Russia, Ukraine, Belarus. And we've been to South Korea, of course, Israel. And we've been different places. It was schools, orphanages, it was prisons. A lot of times we're ministering in Russian prisons, and also nightclubs and stadiums. And we were so fortunate that twice our songs became the best songs of the year of Belarus. Yeah. So through that, doors were open for us. So we would go into television stations and the radio stations, and we would share, you know, our faith and our lifestyle, that which is was very different from what most of Russian people would know. So through the years in the ministry, it's been ups and downs, of course, just like everybody else. Because we used to have more people in a band, and you know, after 20 years of traveling, some people decided to settle down, have a normal life, you know, have family, and you know, sleep in your own bed, which is kind of nice once in a while. But what helped us really to go through different times is the testimonies. And this particular one is very dear to us. They're very special. This young lady wrote us a letter, and she said that there was a really hard time in her life, that she was she lost her man that she really loved. He died. She wanted to commit to suicide. She wanted to die. So she was walking home through the park in her city. And in the park, she sat on a bench. Next to the bench, she saw an MP3 player. She picked it up, she put on the headphones, and she began to listen to the music. And this just happened that it was all New Jerusalem albums in that player. So as she was listening to the music, something began to happen within her. So that day, she didn't do what she wanted to do. Later, we came with a concert to the city where she lives. She came to a concert. We met her in person. We had a great time. She told us what happened. It was amazing. But that was not the end of the story. Later, she found out that she's pregnant from a guy who died. She gave birth to a beautiful baby boy. She found this new job. She began to build her own house. And later in her letter, she thanked us for that player, for that music that was in there. And she said, if there wasn't that player with that music, that she wouldn't be here, and her son wouldn't be here either. It's things like that doesn't happen every day. I wish, you know, miracles would happen every day. But I know if we are thirsty for the Lord, we can receive an answer. And all of us, you know, we were, you know, it was miracles that we all got saved. And maybe Igor can share his testimony how he got saved. Let's welcome Igor Sorokin on bass.
Но мои родители говорили, что я не буду музыкантом.
My parents never wanted me to be a musician.
Но я все равно хотел заниматься музыкой.
But I wanted to be a musician.
У нас в стране говорили, если родилось в семье три сына, два нормальных, один музыкант.
In our country, there's a saying. In the family, there were three boys, three children, and two were okay, and the third was a musician.
Но я очень хотел заниматься музыкой.
But I really wanted to be a musician.
И мне гитару все-таки купили.
So they bought a guitar for me at the end of it.
И я выучил одну песню.
So I learned this one song.
И пошел в школу в ансамбль, думал, чтобы меня взяли.
And I went to apply to be part of a band.
И я вышел на сцену, начал играть, петь.
So I came up on the stage and began to play and sing.
Мои друзья пришли послушать.
And my friends came over.
Ну и я так плохо все сделал, что даже друзья смеялись.
So I was so terrible, my friends were falling off their chairs.
И преподаватель говорит, ты на гитару не подходишь.
So the guy said, I don't think you can be a guitar player.
А я говорю, может, на барабаны?
I said, maybe I can play drums.
Он говорит, ну попробуй, и стучит мне по крышке пианино.
So he said, let's try this, and he play a rhythm.
А я волнуюсь.
And I couldn't repeat it.
Он говорит, ты на барабаны тоже не подходишь.
So he said, you're not gonna be a drummer either.
Я говорю, а можно просто похожу, посмотрю, как другие занимаются.
So I said, can I just come and see others play?
Он говорит, можешь походить.
He said, sure, you may come.
И через год он говорит, я беру тебя в группу.
So a year later, he said, now Igor, you can be in the band.
Я думаю, ну как я хорошо играю.
I said, yes, I probably got so good at my guitar.
Он говорит, просто было 4 человека, все ушли, ты один остался.
He said, well, son, there was 4 people and they're all gone.
На первый концерт я готовился, забыл гитару, приехал на концерт.
So for my first concert, I was really getting ready to play. And I came there and I forgot my guitar at home.
Сбегал за гитарой, они уже без меня отыграли.
I said, don't start, I'm gonna run home and get my guitar. I came back and it was over.
Но родители хотели, чтобы я был поваром или экономистом.
My parents wanted me to be a chef or economist.
И я закончил поваром, отучился год.
So I went to college for a year to become a chef.
Потом 2 года в армии работал поваром.
Then I was in the military for 2 years and I was a chef in the military.
И после армии 6 лет учился в экономическом университете.
And then after the military I went to economical university for 6 years.
И родителям говорю, это для вас дипломы, я дальше на гитаре буду играть.
So I came to my parents and I said, those 2 diplomas they're for you. And I'm gonna go and do my thing.
И так продолжал заниматься музыкой.
So I was continued to play music.
Но в жизнь пришло трудное время такое.
And there was really hard time in my life.
И у меня умер отец, мама заболела, и с братом были большие проблемы.
My father died, my mom got seriously ill, and my brother had really big problems.
Это был 93-й год.
It was 1993.
И один раз я пришел на концерт группы Новорусалим.
And one day I came to see New Jerusalem on concert.
И был полный зал людей.
It was place full of people.
Ребята играли простые песни о Божьей любви, о Иешуа.
And the songs were very simple about God's love, about Yeshua.
И я не понимал, почему люди радуются, хлопают.
I didn't understand why people are so happy.
Но они так прославляли Бога.
But that's how they were worshiping the Lord.
И когда вышел человек в красивом костюме высокого роста.
And then the guy came up on the stage. He was dressed in a suit and tie.
Это был пастор из Америки.
It was a pastor from America.
И он рассказал о том, что сын взял часть имения у отца, ушел, все прогулял и хотел вернуться домой.
And he shared the story about prodigal son, how he took all his heritage, he left and he just wasted it all.
И мне очень понравилось, что отец принял его домой.
And I really remember this one part that the father took accept him back as his own son when he came back.
Он ждал своего сына, когда тот вернется.
That he was waiting for his son to come back.
И в этот вечер я понял, что у меня нет земного отца, но есть Отец Небесный.
And that night I realized that I don't have earthly father anymore, but I have a heavenly father now.
И я покаялся в этот вечер.
So I got saved that night.
И Бог исцелил меня от многих болезней, спас.
And later I got healed from different diseases and sickness.
И он исцелил мою маму и благословил брата.
And my mom later got healed and my life of my brother was changed.
И ребята пригласили меня в группу Новый Иерусалим.
And I got invited to join New Jerusalem band.
Играть на бас-гитаре.
To play bass.
И вот 23 года мы уже вместе.
So we've been together for 23 years.
И я ни минуты не пожалел, что мы выбрали этот путь.
And I never regret that I became who I am.
Потому что музыка это масло, а Божье слово это хлеб.
Because you know that the word of God is bread and music is butter.
И очень хорошо употреблять.
So you know how good is bread with butter, right?
А я говорю, что бас-гитара это мясо.
And he likes to say that the bass is meat.
Если захотите, можно потом вам немного мяса, стейка дать такого.
Yeah, so he's gonna give you some steak now. They have a bass solo. ты.
И вот так я научился играть на бас-гитаре.
Ladies and gentlemen, Igor Sorokin. Alexander Manetsky on drums. Yeah, you know, funny, at one time a lady came to us and she said, you know, when Igor played bass solo, I saw something in the spirit. You know, some people so spiritual. She said, you ready? She said, I saw Igor shooting devil with a machine gun. Yeah, it's like, you know, some churches, yeah, Igor, come on over here. We need you. Shoot the devil. Yeah, I got a question. Very good. Yeah, I completely forgot about it. Well, about 3 years after we got saved, we had a festival of Jewish music and dance in Minsk, in the city where we live. And it was Jonathan Burness, who's in charge, who was and still is in charge of a festival. And they wanted the local band to open the festival. And of course, we were so happy because, you know, it was Sport Palace. It was biggest place in the country. And it was a lot of advertising. Back then, it was still possible. Nowadays, it's impossible. Because, you know, government changed. So they called us and they said, do you have a Jewish songs? We said, of course we do. As many as you want. We have only one. So we had to do more songs. So we had a couple of days before Jonathan came to hear us play. So a couple of days we did a few more songs. So he came, so important student Ty. He was sitting by himself and listening us play. We were so nervous. We didn't know who was the guy. Maybe he was a president of America. I don't know. So he liked it, luckily. So he said, okay, you will open the festival. It was an honor. It was great honor. And so when we came there, it was full of people. It was packed. And a couple of thousands every day couldn't get in. They were just outside. And people were so thirsty for this. So when we began to play, something happened. We just felt the presence of the Lord. People were dancing. It was such a joy. It was nothing like we've experienced before. So we were so amazed, we decided to do the whole Jewish album. So we got more songs from this friend of ours, who's a writer. He's a Jewish guy, lives in Minsk. And we made the whole album. And through the festival, we meet people like Joel Chernov, like Kol Simcha, and Viktor Klimenko, and some other people. And we met them and became friends. And they said, if you ever come to the States, give us a call. So we did. Next time when it came to the States, we went to Jonathan Cahn's congregation in New Jersey. We went to Beth Yeshua in Philadelphia and some other congregations. So our friendships, our relationships began to grow through every year. And then about maybe 3-4 years later, we got invited to be part of Messiah Conference, which was another big event for us. So, you know, none of us are Jewish, by the way. Well, actually, we don't know it for sure. Because it could be, of course. Because many people in our country, you know, like our grandmothers and grand-grandmothers and fathers, they would hide that they were Jewish. And I know the stories when I know people personally that their grandmother, before she passed away, she said, we are Jewish. So it could happen. Yeah, my wife tell me, you Jewish. So she knows, I guess, has a feeling, like, probably. But yeah, I think personally, we think that's a miracle that we became part of a family, part of Mishpucha. Yeah, and we're so blessed and so honored. Back then, when we were part of this festival, we found the scripture where it says, those who will bless Abraham will be blessed, and those who will curse will be cursed. We didn't know exactly what that meant, but we figured out, you know, we're kind of smart people. We figured out it's better to be blessed than to be cursed anyway. So through the years of a ministry, you know, being serving everywhere and all the nations, and especially Jewish people, we were so blessed. I remember this one particular thing that happened here in Rochester, by the way. For maybe 5 or 6 years, we wanted so bad to bring our families to the States because we were just traveling all the time, having fun, and they were just waiting for us. So first, we were praying about it for a couple of years, and but we couldn't they couldn't get visas. So American Embassy would not give them visas because they were thinking that we're all going to stay here. So in one congregation in Washington, D.C., there's a congregation, we shared about this, and the guy came to us and he said, I'm a lawyer. Of course. You're Jewish. You are a lawyer. You should be a lawyer. So we were not surprised. So he said, my job is to bring hockey teams and soccer teams from Soviet Union. So I know how to deal with it, all the legal stuff. So he said, that's what you should do. And he gave us a list of things that should be done in order to bring our family. So we did. Next time we went to the embassy, we got visas. So we we knew we got the visas, but we didn't know where they're gonna stay. 22 people, all of us were 22 people. You know, who wants to have 22 people in their house? Yeah, exactly. No one did. No one wanted to. So we had to pray hard for this. So after one service here in Rochester, we were just walking by the Lake Ontario. And there was a guy who was fishing. And he was a black guy, and there was a white woman with this guy. And we just stopped, and I asked, "So how's your fishing?" You know, two men, they got something in common, fishing. So he said, "Oh, this and that." And he said, "Guys, where are you from?" I guess he figured out the accent. We said, "We're from Russia. We're a Christian band." He said, "Russia, Christian band? What are you talking about? I've been to Russia. There's no Christians at all. There couldn't be any Christian bands from Russia." He said, "But I'm Muslim." Well, we thought, there's no Muslim rock band at all, that's for sure. So anyway, we just talked about the fishing and all of that, and we just left. Next day, the lady who used to helping us with the concert, she's also from Rochester, and she was walking in the mall, and she met this lady. And they talk, and she said, "So how's the guys?" She said, "I'm working part-time volunteer." And okay, so she said, "How can I help?" And this our lady, Debbie, she said, "You know, we need a place for the families to stay." She said, "How many people?" And she said, 22. She said, "Okay, I'll think about it. I don't know, maybe I can do something about it." So he gave her a card, and she saw, I don't know if you're familiar, her name was Lynn Farish. You know who I'm talking about? We never met this woman again, ever. Well, you know her, sir. We didn't know who was the lady. So she said, "Give me a call." So Debbie called her, and she said, "I'm going to give you 4 apartments for 6 months for free." Yeah, here in Rochester. So we had, and before we came there, it was all new. They put new carpet, new, you know, they painted the wall, had a swimming pool and gym, and it was a miracle. And she's Jewish. Yeah. So, you know, things like there are more stories like that. It's just one of illustration how God works in our life through the Word, through His Word. Those who will bless Abraham will be blessed. So, thanks guys for having us, because we're here and we can get blessings, all right? And we have CDs. Yes, thank you. Well, maybe you have some questions. You can ask your questions. And also, I guess you want to know about situation in Ukraine. Well, what can I say? It's crazy. It's really crazy. It's like, imagine if United States have a war with Canada. It's crazy because we've been together, part of one country. Even like Georgia have a war with Alabama, because we've been the same country for many years, and a lot of people, we have Russian married Ukrainian, Belarusian, Russian Ukrainian married, have relatives there, and now there's a war. How did it happen? About a year ago, Ukraine had a president, and people say that he was the one that Russia wanted to, like, Russia send him to be a president. They're like, Russia helped him to be voted for. So he was not very very nice guy. He was actually he was in jail when he was a young man. See, actually for rape, believe it or not. So he was in jail, and so he was a president. And when he became president, life in Ukraine got really bad. So maybe for 2 or 3 years, people were struggling, and at the end of it, they were all, you know, said, we can't stand it anymore. So they started going to the main place in Kyiv and protest against the guy, against the whole situation in the country, and it would be growing and growing. And at one point, the president sent troops, and they were beating people, you know, beating people. And the next day, I think it was like around 20,000-30,000 people there. The next few days, it was 100,000 people came. So it was just, you know, getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And seeing that, well, again, it's my personal view, because you know there could be different views and different opinions about it. So it's from my point of view. So the Putin sent people to Crimea, which used to be part of Ukraine, and using this situation in Kyiv, they set up like a vote. It's like people of Crimea voted to separate from Ukraine. It happened like in 2 weeks without, you know, any, I mean, very very unusual. 2 weeks, and it just started. And 2 weeks later, they voted for separate from Ukraine. And they separated. And because of this situation in Kyiv, the country, the Ukraine couldn't do anything about it. So it was like, you know, shocking for everybody. And there are probably some good parts for the people of Crimea. And of course, there are some bad parts. There were people who wanted that to happen, and there are people who didn't want that to happen, of course. So then another part in other parts of Ukraine, people said, you know, we want that too. We want to separate from Ukraine, because you know Russia is bigger, stronger, have oil, you know, they have more money, people get better, you know, better paychecks, better salaries. So they thought, we're going to be part of Russia, we're going to have a better life. That's what, you know, of course, that's pretty logical. So then they said, you know, in different parts of Ukraine, people began to protest, and they were saying, we want to, you know, do the vote to separate from Ukraine. And of course, Ukrainian government, they saw, and they didn't have a president. So, because their president that used to be, he flee. He just left the country because he might have got killed, and he, you know, he robbed the country. Then later they filmed his mansions that he had. You know, he had a golden bathroom. You know, the everything wasn't gold, and you know the paintings, and it's just unbelievable. Very lots of money. He stole a lot of money. So he left the country. So country didn't have a president, had no government. They didn't, I mean, it's crazy. And things like that happened. So Russia would send, you know, the weapon to this place. They would give the weapon to the rebels. And they would go to the military stations. They would take their weapon and some soldiers would join them. So it grew to to nowadays, it's like an army. They have tanks. They have like really big weapon. They have like mass destruction weapon. So then they had Ukraine had to have a president. So they had to, you know, do all this legal things to get like candidates and debates and whatever they had to have. So finally they had a president. And so it's just war we're going on, and you know, people getting killed every day. And I don't know, I think nowadays around 2,000 people get killed in that war. So in Belarus, our president, because our country is very small, it's about 10, maybe 11 million people. So our president has a very good relationship with Putin. So, but he didn't get involved in it, because you know it would be really bad for the country, because all this situation that that now Russia isolated from the world, they have, you know, the Russian ruble is so much down, like twice. And actually our money is down too. Belarusian, which is Belarusian ruble, is also down. So our president is trying to be like a peacemaker. So German first what's her chancellor, that's what we call. She comes, and president of France and Putin and president of Ukraine, and they were like 3 days ago. They spent 16 hours trying to figure out how to stop this war. So they had the signed couple of documents, and basically it's about that they should stop the war. They should withdraw the mass destruction weapons. They should free I don't know what you call it, prisoners, those who were involved in the war, like stuff like this. But no one really knows is that really gonna happen, because tension is so high. And things are not very good for, probably you want to know about the believers, about the Christians, because this new in Donetsk, this region, they somehow just hate Christians, because we hear all the time they take churches, they come to church. And they said, get out of here. And they just bring the weapons, and they bring soldiers. They just stay there. And they said, if you will come back, we'll kill you. And pastors got killed. I know this one particular family. Pastor had a business, and he was a businessman. And I think his three sons. So they came, they took their cars, and they just took them and you know, drove them away. And then later, like 2 weeks later, they found them dead. So they killed them. So it's just really crazy. So, and also what is interesting, you know, in our environment, the Christian environment, because I just, like I said, we have a husband can be Ukrainian and wife can be Russian, you know. There's really struggling in the families, in the churches, because, you know, some people take Russian side, some people take Ukrainian side. So people get divided, churches get divided over it. And, you know, people sometimes even fight over it, because they see, you know, the hate in each other, because it's really crazy. So all we can do is pray about it. Pray for the peace in Ukraine, so that people no longer get killed. And the wisdom, I guess, that's what they need. The people who decide for, you know, for the nations, the presidents. So, yeah. I don't know, maybe you have questions you can ask.
Why don't we pray for the Ukraine? Some of the Ukrainian Messianic rabbis that I know, before this all happened, were saying that Ukraine was the most open place for the gospel in the whole world. And it's almost like you could see the plot of the enemy to try to close it down, because it was very, very open. There was something like 15 Messianic congregations that had grown up in Ukraine with David Schneier. You know David, right? David and Leslie. In Kiev, right, Boris Grudenko, yeah. And this all came upon the people there. So let's pray for the Ukraine as we heard this. So, Lord, we just come before you now, and oftentimes, Lord, we see problems that are not solvable in human ways. We have people who want to be on one side and people who want to be on the other side, even families divided, and they can't seem to live together in peace. And yet, Lord, we cry out to you for your solution for this situation. We cry out, Lord, that you would cause this ceasefire to hold, and that no more people would be killed, and that you would somehow bring about a resolution that would be acceptable to all sides, and the people would be able to continue to live in peace, and that there would be the restoration. A restoration of what's been destroyed, and that your word would be able to continue to go forth. So we just lift that up to you right now, Father. We pray against the spirits of control that are there, of one nation wanting to control another. We pray against the spirits of corruption that have caused this corruption in the governments. And we pray, Father, that you would just bring your spirit into those places. In Yeshua's name. Amen.